Aren't you interested in learning breakthrough wealth building strategies, such as how to flip a home in less than 2 weeks using other people's money with no real estate license, or how to build a low-cost home-based business? You can discover how to take passive income from any source and invest it into real estate, stocks, or business to become financially independent investing in any market with Residual Roads Business Institute. Collaborate with Andre and other Residual Roads advisors to create a free action plan and start implementing strategies today. Go to www.residualroads.com or email info@residualroads.com. Welcome to the Investing Uncensored podcast. You've been searching for different ways to become financially independent or generate passive income to live out your life's purpose as you've seen others do it, but need insight on how. Well, get excited because here you'll discover the tips and resources to fulfill that need. Andre Stewart has spent more than a decade successfully making it happen for himself and others. This is the Investing Uncensored podcast. And now here's your host, Andre Stewart.
Welcome to another episode of Investing Uncensored. I'm your host, Andre Stewart. And today we're going to talk about cryptocurrencies and the future of cryptocurrencies. I like to talk about that in addition to the manipulation in the market. On a couple other podcasts that I've done, we can go back to some ones that I did in 2020. I said a couple times that I didn't feel like cryptocurrencies would ever be a actual currency. It would never turn into money. And everyone has this whole idea that cryptocurrencies are going to replace the dollar and things like that and other currencies, which it's almost impossible without any type of regulation, because there's no way that if you pay, just for instance, Bitcoin, if Bitcoin was a dollar and you bought a Snicker bar with that one coin, or the one Bitcoin, and then 10 days later, that Snicker bar technically would be worth $25. You know what I mean? That Bitcoin would have increased in value $25. So that's one reason why that's almost impossible, because there's no way people would be out here using that as a trading tool, or I would say transaction tool. Because if you know that this Bitcoin or coin might be worth $25 if it was a dollar in 10 days, why would you go out there and buy a Snicker bar with that particular coin? That wouldn't even make sense. That'd be dumb on your part. And obviously, the person selling the Snicker bar, why would they sell it to you when that Bitcoin could be worth 25 cents in 10 days? So they basically, if they paid, let's say, $10 to get that, or not $10, if they paid 10 cents to get that Snicker bar created, and then they sold it to you for a dollar, that's a good profit. But if they sold it to you and that coin went down to 5 cents to zero, then they essentially are at a loss for what they paid to create that Snicker bar. So then again, that's why I don't think that will work until there's some regulation that comes in. So I think 3 or 4 podcasts back, I said that they're going to start to regulate crypto at some point in time. And that point in time is going to come when they create their own digital dollar and other countries start creating their own digital currency like they have in China. And that's why China is banning cryptocurrencies, because they have the digital yuan. In addition, it's bad for the environment. Like, to mine Bitcoins, it takes a lot of energy. I can't think of how much energy it takes right now, but I know it takes a lot. I can't think of the number. But that's another reason why people are going to... That's why Elon Musk went away from Bitcoin. And Dogecoin has a better, I guess, conservation in regards to energy, and is better on the climate, or climate change and things like that. So that's another reason why, again, these are all the factors on why regulation will eventually come for cryptocurrencies. But my thesis back then was that I think cryptocurrencies are going to be another asset class like the stock market. I think it's going to be for people that have a riskier appetite and willing to get huge returns, and they're cool with taking a 50% haircut in one day. Like, Bitcoin was at $57,000 and then it got down to $42,000 in a matter of, I think, a day and a half. That's insane. That's why a lot of older people like Charlie Munger and Warren Buffett and older investors, they hate what crypto stands for, but it's not them, right? They probably don't like the internet either. You know what I mean? So that's kind of the thing that comes along with technology. Everyone's not going to like it. I don't ever think it's going to turn into a it's not going to replace the dollar, or it's not going to replace currencies as a whole, because it's, like I said, for the reasons that I just said. But I will say that it's going to be similar to the stock market. I think cryptocurrencies are going to just be like, because if you look at a cryptocurrency, the volatility is in essence what you would get on an option contract. They move about the same. They swing about the same. The percentages are the same and the losses are the same. I had a option for 10 cent music and I did great. I think I ended up putting up $2,000 and I got up to like $3,000 or $4,000, and I got the contract so early on in 2020. I got it so early on in 2021 that I was like, all right, this thing is going to for sure pan out by the time 2022 gets here. And lo and behold, China did the whole regulation with the stocks in China and the delisting of some companies coming toward the market in the U.S. That basically killed my 10 cent option. So it went from being valued at like $4,000 at some point in time, and now it's at a penny. 0.01 is what it's worth. So that's what cryptocurrencies are like. You can get into a coin and it can go on a crazy run. You can make a lot of money on it if you sell at the right time. Like if I would have sold that option contract at some point in time during last year, I would have made a lot of money. And I didn't. I held on to it because I'm like, yo, I'm up $4,000. And I don't know, I probably put up, like I said, I think it was $2,000, but it was probably less than that. That's what I'm at a loss for right now. In essence, that's what kind of like when you do contracts, you can lose a lot on an option contract. That doesn't mean that's what I paid for it. But so I'm at like negative $2,000, and I think I don't know what I paid for it. I'm not going to make up something. But in essence, I'm at a negative all the way around. So cryptocurrencies do the same thing. You can get in something like Dogecoin, and it can go on a crazy run, and it could be worth a dollar because someone said something or something happened, and then it can swing, and it could be worth nothing. So there's over 500 plus cryptocurrencies that have probably done what we're talking about, because once they ICO on whatever platform, they probably get a nice little run and then they go back to nothing. So I think cryptocurrencies are just going to be another asset class that people can invest in. And I think what really set this off, I said this before they even got an ETF for Bitcoin. I was like, man, this is out of control because of the volatility. And if you understand regulations and me being a banker for 10 years, there's just certain things you know that come along with what happened after the 2008 market collapse with all the regulations that came into the financial sector. You know that this thing would never be a currency because it's unregulated and there's no government in the world that's going to let something unregulated come in and be the actual currency that people use to transact and buy certain things. That's you basically giving up control, and no country's going to give up control. So half the population is not going to even trust whatever this is. I mean, you're going to get trading in the stock market. I don't know what that percentage is, but a lot of people don't even trade in the stock market. A lot of people don't trade in real estate. So what would make people think that all of a sudden humanity is going to just trust in cryptocurrencies to be the next thing? I mean, they're not going to do that. Even right now with the internet. The internet is like, everyone knows about the internet, but my parents are like 60 something and they just started using the internet like 5 or 6 years ago, maybe a little bit before that, but not like, you know, they're using it on their phone. They're trading on Robinhood. They're doing things like that. It's going to be a while before cryptocurrencies ever get to that level of where people are like 65 and using it. That'll probably never happen. I mean, the people that are in their 30s now will probably use cryptocurrencies if they're still around in that time frame. I do think they're going to be around. Like I said, I think it's going to be another asset class. So you're going to be able to hop in there and trade like you do in the stock market right now, which is amazing. You know what I mean? I have a very high risk appetite. So I like cryptocurrencies. You know what I mean? I'm not going to put all of my money in there, but I will put something in there because it's like, I look at it like playing a lottery. You know what I mean? Because it's way more of a risk than it is when you're doing option contracts. Even options are a risk, but you can look at historical data and kind of predict what a company is going to do. You still have earnings reports. You still have different things that can kind of help you out when you're making a decision when you're trading options, because you're in essence buying a company that has a value and it has a valuation and it has assets. It has different things that you can quantify. With cryptocurrencies, you don't have any of what I just said. There's nothing backing any of these things except for like Dogecoin, which is Elon Musk, or different things like that. And that's why it seems more like a cultural thing than anything. And that's why I don't think it's going to go anywhere, because it's a cultural thing. It would be smart if artists came out with their own tokens, and some artists are doing that. So it's smart with meme tokens. Meme tokens are going to be a thing outside of like, you know, Ethereum and XRP, all these things that have utility. Meme tokens are going to be a thing because it's a cultural thing. You got people that are the younger generation will just back a coin based on whoever the creator of that coin is or whatever it stands for. So there's really no kind of value in cryptocurrencies outside of the ones that have utility. All the rest of them, the only value is the culture or the community that it has. So if you can build out tokens, you know, based on community, and the community will support that token and will do transactions within that community, then it has viability. I mean, that's what the collateral, or that's what the value is. The value is the community. So meme tokens are probably going to come to the rise. And I think if people want to be safe, the safe plays, in my opinion, that other people, like, you want to get behind things that institutions are getting behind. So crypto is not going to go anywhere. For one, the government is taxing people because people are making millions of dollars, billions of dollars, actually, off of these coins. So it'd be dumb for them to come in and be like, we're shutting this down. That would just be dumb because you can't get any tax revenue from that. So many, 20% of the homes that were bought in the past year were bought through cryptocurrency winnings. So the government gets to tax the 20% on the properties that they bought. They get to tax them on the money that they made and the cryptocurrencies. That would be super, super stupid. So I don't really see the U.S. per se coming in and trying to shut it down. China is China, right? They're on some other stuff. But I get it because of, you know, again, the amount of energy that it takes. And most of the miners that mine cryptocurrencies aren't in the U.S. They're in like Europe, they're in China, they're in places like that. So they're getting energy zapped. So it makes sense for those economies to not want that cryptocurrencies floating around in there or being created in their economy. So that's why they want to ban that kind of stuff. But it's really hard to ban something that's decentralized. You know what I mean? But they can catch you however they can, and they can regulate it and tar some hefty fines or start slapping on prison sentences for things like that if they want to really get into regulating it heavy, which I think China would do something like that. But again, like I said, the U.S. is probably not their thing. I think they're going to let crypto have its day and it's going to keep going, but they're going to get into the manipulation of it like they're doing with the stock market and everything else they do with the economy. So if you look at what happened in the past couple of weeks, in 2020 to 2021, the crypto and the stock market were disconnected. Everything so far has been disconnected with the economy for a long time, and that kind of started with the pandemic. It really all got disconnected, but it seems like the crypto market and the stock market, some point in 2021, they became connected. And I was telling some people, the easiest way to manipulate the cryptocurrency market is if you manipulate Bitcoin. Most of the institutions right now are in Bitcoin and some are in Ethereum. Almost every single coin is based off Ethereum or Bitcoin. So if the technology for all the coins are within those two currencies, cryptocurrencies, then all you have to do is basically have majority stake in Bitcoin and Ethereum. And when those prices go down, what is it going to do? It's going to drag everything else down because they're all highly correlated. So when you're buying your coins on Coinbase, you can see where it says this particular coin is highly correlated with Ethereum. This particular coin is highly correlated with Bitcoin. It tells you what the correlation is. So that should let you know that when these two currencies move, your currency is also going to move as well if you don't have those two main coins. So if you look at what happened to the stock market and what happened with Bitcoin, Bitcoin took a hit. It drug the whole entire market down. Omicron, the news came out. And that ETF, the Bitcoin ETF, I need to see what's in this ETF. Because if it has a basket, which usually ETF have a basket of different companies. If this thing has a basket of currencies, which I'm pretty sure has the main currencies of cryptos, anytime that ETF does poorly, which it will, because if the entire market is doing bad in the stock market, it's going to drag down those coins. So that's what I think people are not putting together, is that these two markets are now connected. So as you can see today, December 21st, for the past week, the crypto market and the real estate market have been doing horrible. You have something called quad witching. Look it up. Quadruple witching is something that happens 4 times a year in the stock market, and the prices usually go down. And then a lot of investors wait for this to happen, and then they hop in and they buy more, because that's just kind of what it's called, quad witching. Look it up. They had that. And if you see what they did with the news on Thanksgiving, what that did to the market. And then today, Biden comes out and does a speech on the Omicron variant, which is the news that was released on Thanksgiving. What happened with the market? It came back up. What typically happens around December, if you go back again and look at the stock market, September, late September through October, early November, mid-November, the stock market would always trade sideways. And then toward the end of November, it'll start to turn around and it'll start going up. It'll go up from the end of November or maybe around the end of December, because it's called a Santa Claus rally. And it'll rally all the way until the first or second week of February, sometimes all the way through February, and then the first week of March, it'll start to decline again, because that's another quad witching month. So during quad witching is the best time to load up on your stocks and double down, because that's when it typically goes on a crazy run the next month or the following week after quad witching is over, boom, it goes back up. So if you look at what happened with the market lately, that's exactly what happened. The manipulation continues, because what did they do? There was no reason for Biden to come out and do a speech on what he did. There was no reason for them to drop the news on the variant on Thanksgiving Day. Who's working Thanksgiving Day? Nobody is. So just so happened you working at CNBC and you decide to drop this news? Come on, man. So you got all these different things that come out with the manipulation. And it's just to make it easy for larger firms to jump in and buy in better positions. It's shaking out the weak hands to get them in. So that's kind of what happened. And that's why would he come out and do this speech the week of Christmas? Come on, man. Like, this is the Santa Claus rally that's going to take place. Today is Tuesday. This is going to continue through February. And then again, you're going to see the next. Follow what I'm saying. If you look at all the charts and see what I'm saying, the Santa Claus rally is going to continue until somewhere in March. They're talking about doing the next rate hike, or the first rate hike in March. When is quad witching? In March. When was quad witching? And for this one, it was in December. It's a quarterly thing. It happens 4 times a year, and it's always at the end of the quarter. So March is going to be the end of the first quarter when they're talking about raising rates. What's going to happen in March? When did the last collapse happen in 2020? It happened in March. Even if you go back and look at the cryptocurrencies, Binance Coin was at $25 at the start of January. Go look and see what happened to Binance Coin by March. You don't got to take my word for it. What I'm saying is I'm just trying to give you guys based on data and historic data. Like you heard me on my last podcast say, history is how you get rich. If you go back and look at history, go back and look at Binance when it was $25 or somewhere in there and see what happened. And see what the trajectory went from January all the way to where it is now. You will see that it took a very nice leap in January, or I mean, maybe in December. You'll see that it started taking this giant leap and it just started going up. Right around March, you'll see that it explodes at some point in time in March. So I'm just saying, just go back and look at data. You don't got to take my word for what I'm saying. I'm just trying to put some things in you guys' ear for you guys to take a look at. And that's why I love technical analysis. Like, charting out things is also a way that will help you get rich, because you're basically taking historic data. You're following the trends. And investing is really about following trends. Back to cryptocurrencies, I think the run that we are seeing in cryptos with these, you know, 220% or 230,000% gains, I think that's over, man. I think the only way to really get those type of gains moving forward is if you get in on ICOs. ICOs are initial coin offerings, like IPOs, initial public offering for stocks. If you get in on ICOs, that's where all of these people that made their money, they were on these platforms like Gemini or Kraken or Binance, all of these platforms where you can get these coins before they go public.
Have you ever thought to yourself, I wish I could get into real estate investing? You can change this as quickly or as slowly as you want to now. Imagine yourself networking and making new connections in real estate globally, or buying an investment property in a market or country that fits your needs. People do. They know what I'm talking about. And now you can too with InvestFAR. Connect and join the network. Remote investing made safe and easy.
These are the things that I will be doing, because once they get listed on Binance or on Coinbase, they have another run. So you should look and see when ICOs are coming out. And if you notice IPOs do the same thing. An IPO, the first day, it'll go on this crazy run. And then by the end of the day, it's either going to shake out and it's going to level out, or it's going to go on. If it's a good company and the valuations are great, then it's going to just continue to run. And then it'll eventually cool off too. It might not cool off in the first day, but it'll probably cool off by the end of the week. That's just how it goes. So ICOs are the same way. And you might have mentioned me talk about me getting into Crow. I got into crypto.com 4 days into it being on Coinbase. And I got in at 40 cents. And then it went on the run and went to 99 cents. I didn't jump out. I jumped out at like 82. I should have jumped out of everything at some point in time. But again, you just understand that once it hit these platforms, that's what happens. So I think these crazy gains that people want, the markets are being manipulated. We're a capitalist country. So there's nothing that someone comes up with that's going to just go untouched by the capitalists. It doesn't work like that. You just got to learn how to either be in front of it, be ahead of it by being educated and being in the know and keeping your ear to the streets on what's happening. And then that's how you make your money. That's how I think you're going to be able to make money in cryptocurrencies, because these instant gratification things that we're looking for, that other people have benefited from, they got in. They get like Shiba Inu, that guy that made that $5 billion. He got in on Shiba Inu when it first, you know, I don't know what platform he was on, but he got in super early. Shiba Inu is not going to do it was like a 90 million X. It was something crazy. It's not going to happen again. You know what I mean? So like, it'll happen again on like an ICO. Pick another company, but make sure you understand the technology behind that. These cryptos, they'll run like 200-300%, but you're not going to get those, you know, you're not going to make $5 billion, because 300-400% is still good, but it's not 90 million. So the only way that you can do that is if you get on ICO. So I think that's the play, man. I think crypto, don't put all of your money in crypto, because I mean, unless you're willing to risk it all. And that's my, like I said, I'm a very risk on person. I was talking to my cousin about this today. My personality is all or nothing. And so what I've had to learn in the past couple of months is being, you know, learning how to take risk off. And so instead of me being like, you know what, I'm going to just drop $3,000 here and either I'm going to go to 50,000 or I'm going to go to zero. That's a horrible way to approach it. But that's just me. You know what I mean? I'm like, you know what, I'll throw $3,000 at it. And then, you know, I'm making money in other things. So if I lose the $3,000 in the grand scheme of things, I'm like, it's not a big deal. But that's stupid. That's very dumb. So why not just take a $1,500 hit versus a $3,000 hit? So you guys in the environment moving forward, I think you should take that approach. I think you should take a risk adverse approach or mitigate risk approach. So don't take it like, you know what, I'm gonna just see what happens. No, I don't think you should just see what happens. It sucks to take out that, just use $3,000 for example. It sucks to take out that $1,500 and then the other, you know, $1,500 just so miraculously goes on a run because it does turn in my favor. On the bright side, I didn't lose $3,000 if it went the other way. And on the good side, I'm still in it. So I'm still in it and I didn't lose and I didn't gain a whole, I didn't gain as much as I would have gained, but I didn't lose. And I'm still able to like now take that $1,500 and maybe buy another coin that comes out. You see what I'm saying? Versus, you know, the all or nothing approach is definitely not a way to get wealthy. I mean, you can, it's very risky. You can get rich like the guy did. I'm pretty sure that guy that dropped the $8,000 for Shiba Inu that came to $5 billion. I mean, I'm pretty sure that wasn't all the money that he had. And I think he was a warehouse worker in New York, and it was a bet that he did. So he obviously had enough money to put up $8,000 on a bet on Shiba Inu, so it didn't hurt him. So he, again, do these things, like what I'm saying, if it's like, you know what, it is what it is. I don't really care. So I think that's the approach that you take when you're doing cryptos. But I think you guys should try to figure out a strategy and know that this market is now connected to the stock market because of the Bitcoin ETF that they did. So I think a good idea would be to go and see what baskets of cryptos are in that ETF and know that whatever the market does, it's going to be correlated to the cryptocurrency market as well. So they're both connected now. And don't think that it's ever going to be a currency. So I think the best thing to do if you're trying to get these crazy gains, which is what my strategy is going to be, you know, again, this is not investment advice, but these are things that I'm thinking about doing, is, you know what I mean? There's a platform that you can go to and look up the ICOs. I think you can probably use CoinMarketCap and figure out what ICOs are, but you can just Google it and it'll tell you what they are or what the name of that site is. And then I think from there, getting on Gemini or Kraken or SushiSwap or these different platforms, there is a risk involved. So be prepared to lose all of your money. You know, you could get some identity theft going. When you get on these type of platforms, that is a very high likelihood that that can happen. So if you want to get, but again, more risk, greater reward. So just know that if you get on these platforms to be able to get in on these tokens in advance, this is what can happen to you. And if you're cool with that, then go ahead and do that. I think that's a good strategy. Or pay attention to when coins are going to hit Robinhood, when coins are going to hit Coinbase, when they're going to hit Binance. And each time they hit a platform, they get a boost because different consumers use Robinhood. Some people don't use Binance because you can't use Binance in the U.S. anymore. Oh, no, they came out with Binance U.S. not too long ago. But Coinbase. So some people use specific things. I know people that just use only Coinbase. I know people that only use Binance, and the same thing for Robinhood. So each time a coin hits those, if you want to go the safe route and just say maybe get like a 25 to 30% return, get in coins on Binance and just be on the lookout for when they hit Coinbase. Be on the lookout for when they hit Robinhood because they'll get these additional pumps from the marketplace. But the manipulation is getting more and more real. In this past year, me and my cousin were talking about this. We've had more time to learn about trading and cryptocurrencies in the stock market and understanding when the manipulation happened. That's how we figured out about quad witching. And it's funny because last week she was saying, I'm not worried. I know what they're doing. And it's quad witching week. Stocks are always down during quad witching week. I'm not worried. So she, you know, didn't care, didn't think about it at all. This is like Thursday of last week. And I'm like, I'm about to hit the eject button on all my cryptocurrencies because I'm down a lot. And I got millions of different coins. And I'm like, I'm about to hit the eject button. I can't. I'm down a lot. I was down so much. She's like, man, calm down. Then I'm like, all right. So 3 days in a row, I was just like waiting to hit the sell button on everything. And I didn't. On Coinbase, I did sell some stuff because I told you about the risk off. I took some risk off the table on my Coinbase. On my crypto.com, I left all that stuff on there because I was so far down. I was like, I can't. I'm not selling anything. But on Coinbase, I bought at different positions because I've been on Coinbase since 2016. So I've been on there for a while. So some of the stuff, I was like, you know what? I'm going to sell some of this stuff because I'm up pretty decent. And it's not like I have a lot because I was using some of that cross-investing strategy that I've talked about in the previous podcast, and I bought real estate. So it wasn't like I had a whole lot, but I had enough that it was a significant amount for me to sell and keep half. So that's what I did. But she was like, just calm down, man. Calm down. So I think I hopped on the SPY. I might have said that on my last podcast. I hopped on the SPY and I made a bunch of money on SPY. But I was like, man, I was so paranoid because I have never done the whole quiet witching thing. She's done it. So she knew what was going to happen. So I didn't buy anything because I was like, man, I don't know what's going on with the market. You know what I mean? I'm done. Looking at my crypto.com, I was too down to be like, no. So I didn't buy anything. But lo and behold, what happened? Biden comes out and he does a speech and he talks about something that the media already knows. We all know this, what he talked about today. But he did it so he can get the Santa Claus rally going because it was looking pretty slim for that rally. What did he do? He hopped up there and said, this is nothing to worry about. Blah, blah, blah. The same speech he always gives. And then the market turns around. And what week is it? It's the week of Christmas. And so many people kept saying the Santa Claus rally dead. Is the Santa Claus rally dead? It looked like it was, but what happened? The manipulation happened. Biden came out, said his speech, and now look what's going on in the market. So my cousin, knowing this, she hopped on a SPY this morning, got in at like $200. She's been in it for a while, And now she got in it, her position at $100. And now her position is worth $900. And she had a bunch of contracts on that. So that's what I mean, man. It's just understanding the manipulation that's going on and looking at what you guys could do. Look at history. Take what I'm saying right now and just use this year as an example. Look at December. Look at the last week of December of 2021. 2020 might be a bad year to do that with because of what was going on. So maybe go back to December 2019 and use that data from that. But why not? Why not go back and look at 2020 and see what happened and then go back to 2019 and just look at October through November and then look at December through March and then Google quad witching and look at a couple videos on that. And you will see what I'm talking about. I kind of want you guys to change your perspective on cryptocurrencies because you could make a lot of money. People were making a lot of money. I think that's over now. And I think that they're trying to figure out how they can regulate it. But in the meantime, since they can't regulate it, they're going to just manipulate the hell out of it. So with knowing this, you have to develop a strategy. So if you have any money available, I would stack my cash. Like I told you, I wouldn't be spending money for Christmas. I would wait until right around February. So like the second or third week of February is kind of when I'd be making my exit. And so when March hits, it puts you in a position to buy back in better, and you get to follow what the institutions are doing. You always want to follow institutional money. And so like one thing I'm trying to get people to understand is like, you have to be strategic with your investing. A lot of people just buy randomly and they wonder why or wonder how other people have gotten rich. It's like, you can't just buy in. I'm going to just buy in June for no reason. Maybe you can base it off earnings report, but that doesn't mean you're buying at a good position, because if you buy at the four times a year when the stocks are the cheapest, then that's when you should buy. I'm pretty sure if you do your research and look up when institutions buy, they'll do a bulk of their buying at a particular time in the year. They're not just randomly buying throughout the year. There's very specific times when you should buy. And these are kind of the things that I developed and learned over the past 2 years. I've always been in real estate and I've done stocks, but I would just buy around earnings. But with me having more time, because I wasn't doing as much development with the app, I just educated myself on when is the best time to buy, when are the proper time to buy. Me also talking to my cousin, who's a great trader. She's made thousands of dollars trading in the market in a day. You know what I mean? She'll make $5,000 or $6,000 because she knows when to buy. She follows when to buy. She knows the exact time. And she has a strategy. I didn't really have a strategy except for me buying around earnings. And that can go either way because you really never know. But I told her today, I'm not a trader. I'm an investor. So you need to figure out which one you are. Traders, you have to be on top of the market at all times. That's a little bit different from being an investor, because if you're an investor, then you buy in when you're supposed to, like the times that I'm saying when the stocks are the cheapest, and you just keep reallocating to those positions anytime there's a dip. So you might buy in at $25 and it goes up to $45, and then it might dip down to $35 on that next buying opportunity that second time in the year. Then you buy back in. It might go up to $65 and then it might dip down to $50. Then you buy at that $50. That's your strategy. And you do that four times a year. So then obviously you will have more money accumulated to buy at those specific times. That's your strategy. And then you're an investor. Then you're in it for the long haul. You're not really worried about it if it goes to 50 and then it comes back to 35, because you're in it for the long term. But if you're a trader and you're trying to make money, then you kind of got to be on it like my cousin is. You got to be on it in the morning. You got to be looking at the volume. You got to be looking at the RSI, you got to be looking at the Bollinger Bands. You got to be looking at all these different things. You got to be doing, 3-week option contracts or 2-month contracts or 6-month contracts. It's just a completely different strategy. And so that's kind of what you got to develop, even when it comes to investing in cryptocurrencies. I mean, the history is not there like it is with, like I said, the stock market. But if you use something called TradingView, you can look at the RSI. You can look at and use Bollinger Bands. You can use different technical analysis to still make informed decisions, because I think Bitcoin is going to be great for trading. I think it could be good for investing, but you just got to set it and forget it if you're going to be an investor. But I think if you use a platform like TradingView and being able to do what I just said with TA, I think you can make a ton of money trading cryptos because you got to look at it. It's all about the percentage. You want to focus on the percentage. You don't really care what the number is, right? If you put up $100 and you made 25% on that $100, that's great. So crypto does that. Crypto does these swings where you can do that in like a week, 2 weeks, 2 days. You can make 25 or 30%. So that's kind of why I would use a platform where you can set up your tools and use the, like I said, I love Bollinger Bands because I heard this guy give an analogy yesterday. Bollinger Bands are like oxygen for whatever the asset is. So once the stock chart goes out of that Bollinger Band, it has to come back within those Bollinger Bands in order for it to breathe. So if it drops down below and it goes outside of the Bollinger Bands on the bottom on the downside, this thing is going to come back to the upside, and that's when you should buy in. It's going to give you indicators when it's time to buy back in. When I bought Spotty the other day, I used my Bollinger Bands, and I saw the indicators that showed me this thing needs oxygen, and it came back within those bands, and I made 45% in a day on the SPY because I followed the bands. And then the next morning I woke up, I looked at the band again. It had came in, it took a breath, it went to the top, it came outside on the top of the band, and I saw the indicators again saying that it had to come back in for oxygen, so I set it to sell. So I set it to sell that night, and it dropped back down basically where I bought it at. So in one day, I went up 45% just using technical analysis, looking at the bands, and I saw, okay, well, this thing needs to breathe. Each time it needs to breathe, I choose to exit. So you can do that with TradingView and do that with cryptocurrencies. And then there's so many platforms out there for stocks. Thinkorswim is what I use. But that's kind of how you trade. I don't have time to always do that, and that's when I get smacked. Because I was trying to trade through 2021 and 2020, but I didn't have time because I had to invest far. And so I was getting killed. I was getting smacked on a whole bunch of like different short-term plays because I didn't have time to do the TA every single day. But I kind of did that because one day I was trying to see what the decision was that the Fed was going to do. I saw what they did. So I was sitting around monitoring. It made sense for me to trade that day. So if you guys do these different things, I mean, you can do both. You can be an investor and a day trader if you have that amount of time. But if you don't want to take the risk, man, just become an investor. It's super easy to do. You invest in great companies that are going to be good over time. You don't even got to worry about doing TA. It's pointless. If you be like, you know what? Apple is Apple. They're doing this. It don't matter what you buy Apple at. You know it's going to continue. If you look at the history of Apple, it's going to go up. If you look at the chip shortages, AMD. I will buy AMD. I was in AMD when it was $20, and AMD is crazy now. My cousin trades in and out of AMD because we're at a chip shortage. We're going to always need this. We're going to always need silver. You know what I mean? It's funny because I got a new laptop the other day, and it had a list, and it said the commodities list for my computer. It gave me a list of all the commodities that were in my computer, and it was like natural silver. It gave me the chips. It gave me everything that I needed, and I'm like, well, clearly we're going to keep making laptops. I can just buy this. You know what I mean? The things that were in this laptop, I can use. I can go and invest in this on the market because you just know technology is not going anywhere. And it was natural silver. And if you look at silver, silver is going to the moon because we're going through an expansion phase. And we're going to continue to go through an expansion phase because, again, we're at a deficit in homes. We just had economic crisis, and we're going to have another one. So we're going to need silver. And they're talking about going to climate control, climate change. So look at all these different things. So we're going to need silver. Bottom line, I can invest in silver and be fine for the rest of my life. So, I mean, it's basic things like that when you come to investing, when you can easily be a great investor. But trading is something totally different. You need to have time. You need to have experience in doing that. But there's so many tools and resources out here. And just using certain indicators like Bollinger Bands, the RSI, the volume. I mean, you can easily become a trader. It's really not that hard. You just got to have the time in it. But anyway, guys, I really hopped on here to just do a quick, you know, breakdown of what I thought about cryptocurrencies and that is not going to be a currency, and about the manipulation that's in the market, and to be prepared to see this manipulation is going to get greater. I really see that it's super heavily connected. I think this week and last week And the way that everything is green, that has never been like that before. That all just happened because now the correlation between those two asset classes are there. And so I want you guys to understand that. So if you're trading stocks and cryptos, I mean, you're going to have to be, you know, you're going to basically have, you need the monitors, man. You're going to need two screens because one is way more wilder in trading action and volume than the other is, but they're both highly connected. So guys, I think, don't think that cryptocurrencies are going to be the currency of the future and that we're all going to use that and the dollar's going and all the fiat currencies are going away. That's not going to happen. And when the fiat currencies, not no time soon, but when the fiat currencies do go away, every central bank is going to have their own digital currency. So what would make you think that they're going to let cryptocurrencies be the dominant currency that they use for their country to get, you know, to do anything? It's not going to happen. So, man, you know, I always tell you guys, happy investing. But pay attention, man. Learn how to use market manipulation to your advantage and learn how to look at history and go out there and become great traders. So thank you, guys. And I will see you guys on the next episode. Take care.
Aren't you ready to start a business or grow your real estate investing portfolio? If you answered yes, allow Andre and the expert advisors at the Residual Roads Business Institute to fast track and put you on a path to full-time investing. The greatest transfer of wealth in our lifetime is occurring over the next few years, and you can take advantage if you know what to look for. In order to be successful at real estate investing, you need to learn how to leverage your current resources to generate quick money, big money, and retirement money. Let Residual Roads advisors craft a plan to get you through these phases using little or no money in 6 months or less. Don't wait for a job. Create one for yourself and others. Go to residualroads.com for mentorship, and for our free course, go to residualroads.thinkific.com.